And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Today we're going to be talking to our old friend, Ted Schmidt. He has a great site called Theology in the Vineyard. He'll be in later in the show to talk about a number of things. The women's boat to Gaza, which is now pretty much closing in on crossing the Mediterranean. It's awfully close, I think, to Gaza. It's expected sometime early October, and I hate to keep saying that. I keep thinking this can't be true, but I'm afraid it is. That October is about to pounce on us, and that the women's boat to Gaza is it's called, one of the boats is Zaytuna. It has a woman captain and an all women crew, and it has some very celebrated women from around the world. I know an athlete and a political activist in South Africa is aboard. There is also a Turkish activist who was aboard the Turkish ship that was attacked some years ago. So for her, this must be quite a test. We applaud them. They're very courageous. And we will be talking to Ted Schmidt about that. We're expecting to hear from an activist organization, the Women in Action for Peace of Burundi. They've issued a statement, which we think is very helpful for people trying to understand the crisis in the Great Lakes region of Africa. It goes on. There's been, anybody has noticed, there's been 20, 30 years of really intense struggle there. And so we want to understand that and do what we can to communicate it to our listeners. And we will also be talking to Rick Sterling, who has written an article in the Dissident, Dissident Voices, pardon me. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked to Rick. Rick has been focused on a number of issues. He is a retired aerospace engineer. He is devoting himself now to research and writing. You find his writing at Counterpunch and Dissident Voice and elsewhere. He's a member of the Syria Solidarity Movement. And there's very heavy fighting in Aleppo today. And you can tell by the fact that Samantha Power is elevated out of her chair and highly upset and calling people barbarians. It was the United States forces that broke the peace a week ago by attacking the Syrian outpost, which they called a mistake, but they had never previously been in that region. They claimed they were trying to hit ISIS, except I noticed that they didn't say, well, sorry, we hit you on Monday. We're looking for the ISIS, and so we went back on Tuesday and hit them. I noticed that after they hit the Syrian army, they didn't, after saying they'd done that and regretted it, they didn't then attack ISIS, which makes you think they must have hit what they were aiming at. So this is a kind of a complex, dangerous world we're living in right now, where this kind of behavior goes on by great powers. And that is a matter we want to hear about. Specifically, Rick Sterling is going to address this matter of an organization that came into being only 2 years ago, but now is the darling and favorite of the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star, the New York Times, the Daily Telegraph, the Guardian. And when anything happens in Syria, they refer to this group, which is curious, as Rick Sterling has pointed out in this article. They sometimes are called the White Helmets. Another name is the Syria Civil Defense. We're going to be asking Rick how this could be, because both those names are appropriated names. There is actually in Syria a Syrian Civil Defense, and it is a registered organization internationally. It was formed in 1953. It belongs to international bodies. As you know, international bodies have governing rules and about conduct and codes so that they can be tested as to the quality of their word. But this is the group that has taken exactly the same name, and I find quoted in today's Toronto Star, is actually an imposter. in that they have a name that they have a name that does not belong to them. By the way, copyright people ought to be interested in this. This is kind of a cute trick. In warfare, it's done, by the way. It's a dirty trick, you know, where you put on the other guy's uniform and then you walk around. I can tell you that the rules of combat is that you can end up dead doing that because it is a particularly heinous conduct. One of the reasons you don't do it is to protect civilians and others. You know, they do. People wear identification on battlefields, partly so they recognize each other and also so they don't harm those who are simply in the area. So this is a very dubious outfit, and we've been watching them closely. And we are now, I think, able to speak to Mr. Rick Sterling. Are you there, Rick?
Yeah, hi, Phil. Yes, I am here.
Thank you for being available. You've been writing about a subject. I've been explaining to our listeners why we're interested in it. That is very pertinent to today's headlines. We have news of heavy fighting in Aleppo. And mm-hmm. I looked at the New York Times reports and my own Toronto Star and a Metro paper that they pass out so that I read it whether I like it or not. They hand it to me practically. So in it, it says, it trying to describe what's going on, they quote people called the Syria Civil Defense.
Right.
Now, I read your article, Dissident Voice, and I urge everybody to read that article because it's very full. It's full of necessary information. But in fact, what I get from your article that they are imposters in the sense that there is already a Syria Civil Defense group. So
yeah.
The people being quoted are actually the ones who are embedded with ISIS.
Well, it's they're more embedded with the Al-Qaeda faction, which is
You're more up to date. I cannot follow these.
Yeah, I know. Basically, you know, they're terrorists, and these are the ones that were the official branch of Al-Qaeda,
mm-hmm.
Jabhat al-Nusra, and in the last 6 weeks or so, or 6 or 8 weeks, they changed their name and said, well, we're no longer the Al-Qaeda branch, but they had the authority of the authorization of the formal Al-Qaeda. So mm-hmm. basically, the so-called white helmets work very closely in alliance with Jabhat al-Nusra, with the Al-Qaeda faction in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And you're exactly right. There is the real Syria Civil Defense began in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
They were original members of the International Federation of organizations that do civil defense. And they are active. If you dial 311 in Syria, you get an emergency response, and one of the responders could be the real Syria Civil Defense.
Yeah.
The fake Syria Civil Defense was created by a British military contractor in 2012.
And it's all of 3 years old.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead of you.
Correct, yeah. So this is it's a new creation. It's basically a very slick media stunt to basically deceive the public.
Yeah. Well, that is what I find very, particularly given the danger of the situation where people are trying to understand because they're being told the Russians are the bad guys and the Syrian government's the bad guys. And who is the authority being quoted is a member of this White Helmet group, which is exclusively linked to the Al-Qaeda people.
Yeah, exactly.
And they pass it off as though, oh, he's from the Syrian Civil Defense. It's a fraud. But
yeah.
I want to ask you this. I was traveling once in Europe, and I was reading the International Herald Tribune and an interview with a high-ranking American military man, and he said, the first thing we require when we know we're going to be engaged with an enemy is information dominance. We want control of the narrative.
Yeah.
And watching this, it just seems to be, you know,
right.
painting with by numbers. But no one is calling them out. I mean, you are, and Vanessa Bealey, excellent articles.
Right.
But it's as plain as the nose on your face, right?
Right. When you look below the surface, it's really evident. Now, I want to make sure all your listeners know that there's an online petition, and I hope that a bunch of people will go and sign it. It just was launched yesterday. It was basically launched 26 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's retract the award given to NATO's white helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on change.org. It's the information and the links are all spelled out there, as well as a short video clip which shows examples of individuals in the Al-Qaeda controlled with guns, and then you see them in a white helmet uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You see an execution of a civilian, and then his body is picked up by the white helmet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good 5-minute video, a summary of the white helmets. It's at change.org. Retract the award given to NATO's white helmets. And Vanessa has another petition: do not give the Nobel Peace Prize to the white helmets. That one's got over 3,000 signatures.
Yeah, and again, it is interesting. I mean, it's like, to step back, we've had two or three violent incidents recently, and voices are raised. And, for example, the convoy story, and I want to ask you about that. But the Red Cross and the United Nations both have not concluded who struck, what happened in that convoy incident. But the New York Times and others go straight to the people we're referring to, who are partisan, but they don't tell even the basic information that this is an organization whose leader has blamed Russia and has called for regime change. He couldn't be any closer to the Obama administration. He's, in other words, he's a profile from them. But instead, they treat him as, he's in the life-saving business. He must be a good guy.
Well, it's the same media that accepted uncritically Colin Powell's presentation to the UN Security Council and said, well, it's a slam dunk, and obviously we've got all the evidence, and Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. Later on, they say, whoops, we were wrong. But it's too late. It's not too late now. We still have time to stop the U.S. and NATO from doing a direct attack on Syria, but that's what the danger is here, especially with Hillary Clinton very likely coming into the White House.
Well, yes, there's going to be a debate tonight, and everyone's thinking, I guess, about that. Either is it's like approaching storm or not, I guess. But now, I've interviewed you in the past. You contended the Bernie Sanders meeting and assessing what the anti-war movement, its strength and all that. Can you tell us, do you know, is Hillary Clinton's team still committed to this concept, which is being now talked about very loudly, a no-fly zone and a corridors into Syria?
Right. Well, she has not renounced it. And what she said so far, periodically indicates she's still on board with that. And that, furthermore, as soon as she had wrapped up the nomination, when the California primary occurred, within days, there was a quote-unquote leak from the State Department. You know, this is a leak that's broadcast in the New York Times, of course. 51 members of the State Department expressed disagreement with the Obama policy and call for direct attack on Syria. And I think that it's no coincidence that happened immediately. Hillary Clinton had wrapped up the race for the Democratic Party nominee. So it's we're in a very dangerous time. The propaganda is intense.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are calling them the White House helmets, which I thought was a pretty clever turn. In our petition, we call them NATO's white helmets.
Yeah.
Well, they're certainly both true,
mm-hmm.
But the name, the White Helmets, not only did they steal the name Syria Civil Defense from the legitimate Syria Civil Defense, they also stole the name White Helmets.
Mm-hmm.
For over 20 years, there's been an organization, an international relief organization out of Argentina called the Cascos Blancos, White Helmets.
Mm-hmm.
So the legitimate White Helmets is that organization, and the White Helmets that we're hearing about in the press is basically a media creation designed to influence public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They sound fantastic. They're saving babies left and right. They're humble farmers mm-hmm. and teachers and tailors who volunteer to do all this courageous work. Is that a little bit suspicious?
Yeah.
You bet it is.
Yeah.
And if one peels mm-hmm. back the surface, the evidence is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond what we've got in the petition. Again, the petition is retract the award given to NATO's White Helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of evidence there. It's very succinct, along with links to sources for people who want to, you know, dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah. It's so sinister in that it's rather like watching chess, where a guy puts his piece on top of the other guy's and he takes that piece away.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, they actually – that's why we have copyright battles. If somebody takes a name over, mm-hmm. they're not only enhancing their business, but they're eliminating utterly – the person replaced.
Exactly. So this thing has been created. It was created by a marketing company that is called the Syria Campaign. Anna Nolan, who's Irish, lives in New York City. She's a young hipster, I suppose. She came up with she and her group, they branded the White Helmets, and they're behind the flood of tweets and Facebook posts and all that sort of stuff, which is quite influential now. That can, you know, and that's how they have very grotesquely been given this Right Livelihood Award.
Yeah. And of course, these things are cumulative. Once you get two or three, it turns into, well, a kind of bandwagon phenomena.
That's what they're trying to do. And then now they've gone the next step here in the last week, where they're claiming that the Russians and the Syrians are targeting White Helmets.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another thing that is very likely a complete fabrication.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the Russians and the Syrians are attacking the terrorists and the groups in eastern Aleppo that are launching cannon missiles into government-controlled area that are executing people that they killed 26 civilians a few days ago, civilians who were trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
They executed them.
And by the way, it's also a matter of record. They're the ones who rejected the peace agreement. Isn't that true?
Well, Ahrar al-Sham is the terrorist group heavily supported by Saudi Arabia. They rejected it. The Jabhat al-Nusra, the official al-Qaeda branch, which is by far the strongest one, they were never part of it. You know, the U.S. is on record saying, well, yes, they are terrorists, and they're not part of the group. So the whole cessation of hostilities has always been very confusingly they convey the impression that it's a ceasefire, and it's never been a ceasefire. Because the biggest opposition group, the most effective opposition group, which is heavily funded from outside powers, they've never been a part of it. So they never had any interest in seeing the thing succeed.
Yeah.
So that there's a lot of maneuvering and double tricks. And the U.S. at this point, the U.S. and allies are doing everything they can to prevent the Syrian government from crushing the terrorists. There's 20 to 25,000 terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine Toronto with a third of it taken over by tens of thousands of terrorists who are armed with sniper rifles that can kill somebody at 200 yards.
Yeah. And incidentally, those fighting groups, one of the reasons we have this phenomena of the private civil defense group is that they don't tolerate anybody who's not loyal to them. You can't be in their neighborhoods, as we see from all the ugly videos, without being taken out.
Well, it's extremely it's kind of astounding. About a year ago, there was a map of Aleppo with the logos of all the different – there were 18 different terrorist groups. So it's not just one unified command. There's factions that are supported by Qatar. There's factions supported by this billionaire in Saudi Arabia.
So if you were Red Crescent, and you would have no way of being secure, because one of the 18 would say you're fine, and you walk two blocks and you're in trouble.
That's right. That's right. But there is a big difference. I'm glad you mentioned the Syrian Arab Red Crescent, because they actually do. They do operate to some extent, to the extent they can, in both on both sides. Of course, they're doing major work in the government-controlled area, but they also do some work in the terrorist-controlled parts. Although that, and they also are not politically, aligned officially. That's kind of prohibited.
It is prohibited. I mean, that's actually what my objection to this white helmet's number one out of the 100 reasons, but number one is if you're there just to save lives, you can't be making statements about how to solve the war. That's not your business.
That is correct. That's a major violation. They go beyond that. They're writing op-ed editorials, or they're not writing them. Some slick marketer is writing an op-ed, and it's got the name, of the head of the White Helmets, who's the same guy who the U.S. wouldn't allow to enter the U.S. because he was presumably on a terrorist watch list. But you're right. They are very active. I mean, the evidence is they've been pushing for a quote-unquote no-fly zone since they began.
Mm-hmm. Which is their goal Hillary Clinton, Obama policy.
Their goal is to facilitate direct U.S.-NATO intervention, because there's no way that the armed opposition can win in Syria unless the country is destroyed by the U.S. and NATO the way Libya was destroyed.
Yeah. Which,
I mean, they're very unpopular.
Yes. By the way, to be honest, to be fair to Hillary and her gang, they don't mind calling that a victory because they got rid of somebody who didn't do as they told him.
It's so ugly that they would rather see the country destroyed and the fighting go on another 5 years, rather than the Syrian government, an independent government that's secular, that respects all religions, but is independent of Washington and Israel and Saudi Arabia. They would rather destroy the country than see them prevail.
I think that's exactly
it's
what
that
it is.
Cynical and sinister, really.
Yeah. We're speaking to Rick Sterling, and his article is in Dissident Voice, I believe. It's August, it's September the 20th. It's just the other day.
Yeah.
It's the 23rd.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now, Rick, you, of course, had the unpleasant duty to have to call to account an organization that enjoys quite a bit of respect, and certainly people are disappointed. In the Code Pink. In Canada, by the way, we have a New Democratic Party in a private closed caucus. They voted to endorse the White Helmets.
Right.
I can't believe they didn't do their homework. Or are they trying to, find a clean reason to get involved in a dirty war?
I would guess that, yeah. The latter. They're looking for some way to come in and say, okay, here's a group that all they're doing, it's volunteers doing rescue work. How could you argue with that? And if that was the case, you couldn't argue with it. That would be good. But but when you dig down, you find out that is not the case. As I said, the White Helmets is basically a hoax. It's a propaganda stunt created by the West with specific goals. These marketing companies are not doing this for free.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who, we see in the videos of White Helmets, they're not volunteers either. They're mercenaries, or they're being paid for their services. In some videos, you can see them as terrorists with weapons celebrating Al-Qaeda, and another one, you can see them with the White Helmet uniform on.
Okay.
But the NDP and Code Pink, I think they were deceived. I think they didn't do their homework. But it's also a testament to the massive propaganda. I mean, we have Serious Solidarity Movement and Rick Sterling and Vanessa Beely and some other people calling these people out. But our voices are minuscule in comparison with other major publications around the world who are trumpeting the White Helmets as if this is you know, we know what their message is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the New York Times did not call you.
Right. Now, interestingly enough, an Israeli TV station called. And they actually
That I can watch you on an Israeli TV and a statement, and you did, and it was a pretty fair job of covering it.
It was. I mean, they didn't alter.
They put it as a question of what the motives or the identity of this group is.
And they hit the nail on the head. They said white helmets, heroes, or hoax.
Mm-hmm. Well, hoax has my vote. now, how have you made out with this business? I mean, that article you wrote, you were very correct and polite about it. I hope Code Pink will stop and think.
Well, they issued a correction, but it didn't go anywhere near far enough. They indicated that they were not aware of some of the other information that we presented to them, but that's really unsatisfactory. If they promote something and they find out later on that what they were promoting is not just neutral, it's really bad. It's really promoting the war.
It should be
in a cynical way. Then I think Code Pink needs to issue a correction and an update. Encouraging their members to look deeper into the facts of this, and that there's a lot of evidence showing that the white helmets actually is a propaganda stunt. It's not volunteers doing rescue work. It's media videos and it's editorials and it's propaganda promoting U.S. NATO intervention.
Yeah, when the Red Crescent does humanitarian work, and there's a reporter. They tell what they're doing, but they don't engage in speeches about Putin or somebody has to come and rescue these people. Everybody understands that's just raw politics.
Right.
But I noticed that the New York Times seems to think, well, now we've got that nomination and we sort of got these guys through the entry point. They're doubling down on using them. I mean, the last two major articles of the New York Times basically promoting war. Using the now Aleppo, but the other day the convoy, relied in almost entirely on little narratives out of the mouth of an individual identified as one of the white helmets.
Yes. So yeah, exactly.
And it takes me back to Iraq. You recall, not only was it the Secretary of Defense with his lies, but the New York Times had a writer who it was like her mission to say that she knew where those weapons were.
Do you
think is that not where we are almost now with this?
We
story?
Are. It seems like nothing has been learned, and you know, Judith Miller left the New York Times, but she did not get disgraced really. And all of the, I mean, who among the Bush administration was penalized? Who among in the media, you know, suffered any real consequences? The neocons are back. It's as though that never happened. The lies that led to the greatest travesty of justice, the greatest, you know, crime, international crime of the century, was the invasion of Iraq, a very, very clear violation of international law, aggression based on lies. Mm-hmm. And it's like nothing's been learned, and they're just doing it again. So
that does make America exceptional.
You're calling and raising, you know, your voice and, you know, raising our voices, trying to, you know, encourage people to look deeper and speak out against that.
Yes, I mean, we are trailing in that sense. You point out, I mean, Bush and Cheney were certainly, everybody realized the villains, and then Mr. Blair. Now, Mr. Blair has been pilloried, and his party has gone through a radical transformation.
Right.
But Bush and Cheney, I understand, are going to be at a meeting with Obama to endorse Hillary. So we have a ways to go.
We've got a long ways to go, and we really need people in the public to, anybody who can, who's got the time to look into this and speak out. It's really outrageous, that NDP statement, which I've read, and there's a good letter criticizing it. It's outrageous. And the same thing for Code Pink endorsing this.
Yeah.
You know, you expect, you know, you don't expect much more from the New York Times for those who, you know, have looked at it with a critical eye.
Yes.
You know, and one can have criticisms of the NDP over many issues, but you don't expect them to be joining, you know, a really overt, explicit propaganda campaign that's just a slick way to deceive the public.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. Rick Sterling, we really appreciate it. It's in Dissident Voice, September 23rd, I believe. But all you have to say is Rick Sterling, Dissident Voice, and the article will come up. And
right. It's actually published in many other locations as well, although Dissident Voice is good because they've got photographs which demonstrate some of the things I'm saying. But I do encourage interested listeners to find the petition, sign the petition.
Yes.
It's new. It was just launched yesterday, and it's got the video as well as other sources of information.
Well, thank you very, very much, Rick. And we'll talk again soon.
Oh.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Rick Sterling. He is a retired aerospace engineer. I wish I could say that. And a researcher and writer. And his articles on this crisis in Syria have been excellent, as have Vanessa Beely, on particularly on this topic of the appropriators, the interlopers, the weeds that have taken over the name Syria Civil Defense, which doesn't belong to them, in order to give propaganda for a war. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a little break. We will be back with Ted Schmidt.